Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin, good afternoon. Great to have you with us.
Wonderful to be here.
A little bit worried there for a second.
Why?
Because that's the second time I asked how you're doing.
It's been a hectic day, both in the sports world and out of the sports world, and the little slider that has your name on it was not the one I pushed up there for a minute.
Hectic day. Why has it been a hectic day?
Well, there's some reports out of Dallas that they may no longer have Hardy on the roster.
Well, good. That's fine.
And I've been trying to find out what the reasoning is, because they could have cut him many times over in the last several months and probably should have.
Well, as of right now, it's not being reported by, for example, by ESPN that he's been released.
That is correct.
It is not being reported by them. Other entities may have different opinions. By the way, the Thursday night game, a classic, Tennessee and Jacksonville tonight. So.
Yeah, this does not, it just doesn't have a lot of interest.
Well, we have a lot of interest in the next 2 days as to what we have going on.
Yeah.
Because we have Nate Cobbler today, Center Daily Times, to talk about Penn State wrestling. Gene Deckerhoff, the legendary play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks, who will play the Philadelphia Eagles Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field, but is also the play-by-play voice for 37 years with Florida State football and basketball, on the show today. Tomorrow, Jack Ham, John Bacon, Jim Brandstetter, the play-by-play voice of Michigan football, and Craig Meyer, who covers Duquesne basketball, because Penn State's playing Duquesne tomorrow night at Consol Energy. That's all on tomorrow's show. Tonight on the Penn State Coaches Show, featuring James Franklin, it's Coquise Washington as the leadoff guest tonight, followed by Coach Franklin. So that's the lineup we have on the broadcast facility of champions. Now for the Kevin Herr memo of the day. Cowboys release Hardy for violation of team rules.
That was the story.
Was being late for meetings the last straw. Well, probably. But that's fine. He shouldn't have been there to begin with. You have to have standards in your organization for what you have, who you have. There was an old saying, remember who you are and what you represent. Well, did the Dallas Cowboys remember who they are? And did they remember who they represent when they signed him? Did they? I say they didn't. And it's not as if I'm on the Greg Hardy, a tirade against him constantly, but how can you possibly sit in this chair as a husband, a father to two daughters, and a granddaughter and respect the fact that the Cowboys signed Greg Hardy. How do I then look at my sons, my son-in-law, and my grandson and tell them, well, you know what? That's okay. Your multi-million dollar career continues on because there are no standards. That you want to teach them that there's a standard in life to live. How do you do that with the people around you? How does Jerry Jones sit there and Stephen Jones, his son, I mean, they run the Cowboys. How do you not sit there and say, well, hey, he gets to the quarterback, we're signing him. Yeah, but what about the back? Oh, no, he gets to the quarterback, we're signing him. No, that's not how it operates. They've still got, do you realize how many games they've won since he started playing? None. The Cowboys haven't won a single game he has played in this year. Do you know that?
They haven't won many, period, but I didn't realize there were that few that he played in.
They have not won a single game he has played in. So exactly where is the payoff here? If you're doing this for football reasons, where's the payoff? There is no payoff.
I should mention, though, that has not been confirmed yet, Steve, that I'm just seeing some really preliminary reports that this happened.
Oh, so we're doing the TMZ thing. Oh, great. I feel very emotional about such things.
I'm with you. He shouldn't be there anyway.
He shouldn't be there. Now, whether this, whether he's been released or not, don't know. But he should not be there. I mean, I can tell you right now, I wouldn't have signed him. Even if I had the worst pass rush in the league, I still would have passed. If it cost me my job, it cost me my job. But you have to have some sort of standard. And that's not a standard I want to see. Not a standard I want to see. Let's see. A couple of other things to get to you. How about Brett Bielema's proposal? This is very interesting. Far more, much more fun to talk about than the life lessons of Greg Hardy, in my opinion.
Or the Brett lack Bielema. Of lessons.
Well, no, but there are a lot of lessons in here. There are a lot of lessons from how the Cowboys have handled it to what he's done.
Oh, I see. To how
the National Football League has handled it. Remember, the NFL gave him a 10-game suspension, and then it was through arbitration they got it to 4. So the arbitrator didn't handle it right either. The NFL, the 10-game suspension, okay, that's fine. I have no problem with how the NFL actually handled his part. The NFL's hands are tied, and it doesn't bother me criticizing the NFL. I've done it before, the Ray Rice thing. I think I couldn't have been any more pointed about the Ray Rice thing, could I? When it came out, before the video even came out, I said he should be suspended for a minimum of half the season. And I think it actually would have saved his career if they'd done that. Hardy was suspended for 10 games by the NFL. It was through arbitration they got it down to 4. So the arbitrator handled it wrong. And if the arbitrator doesn't like it, the arbitrator can call. And the arbitrator can tell every single woman out there exactly why I'm wrong. Whoops. Brett Bielema, third-year head coach at Arkansas, 8 seasons head coach at Wisconsin. One area where college basketball does a superior job in scheduling compared to what college football does comes in some of the made-for-TV events that they have. College basketball, as I pointed out yesterday, does have the scheduling advantage of exponentially more games. Penn State this year will play, for example, 13 non-conference games and 18 conference games. So with 13 non-conference games, you do have scheduling flexibility. And, for example, you have the Gavitt games. Penn State just played an arranged game with DePaul from the Big East. They still have to go to Chestnut Hill to play Boston College in the ACC Challenge. They have a tournament in Las Vegas where their opening round opponent is Colorado. And then they'll possibly play either SMU or Kent State. So that puts quality opponents on the schedule just because for made for whatever events. In some cases made for TV and others challenge events, things like that. Just to spice the schedule up, which is what fans want. They want spice. Brett Bielema has made a proposal. And keep in mind, the Big Ten did have something like this in place. Let's go back 2-3 years ago. The Big Ten and Pac-12 had come to a verbal agreement on a Big Ten Pac-12 challenge where you'd play football and men's basketball. And they were going to talk about maybe doing quadruple headers, you know, in basketball and so forth. And it fell through in part because the Pac-12 had gone to 9 games in football. Each team only had 3 openings. USC, for example, has a long-standing year-in and year-out series with Notre Dame. Stanford now has a year-in and year-out series with Notre Dame, among others along the way. And because of that, it just couldn't pan out. Brett Bielema says the SEC should play the Big Ten in a series of challenge games throughout the course of the year to spice the schedule up. Because this weekend for the SEC, which cleverly does its schedule, you know, South Carolina plays Florida the second week. Florida plays Tennessee the third week. Then you've got Ole Miss, Alabama in the fourth week. You know, and they spread the schedule out over all these weeks. You notice, for example, when Ole Miss lost its game to Memphis, it was, what, their 7th game of the year. It wasn't game 3 or 4. It was game 7. Well, this weekend in the SEC, this is the joke weekend of the SEC. And the joke weekend includes Alabama, Charleston Southern, among other beauties that are taking place this weekend. Now, next weekend, of course, Alabama will play against Auburn. Okay. But that's now, that's a, there are other, I think there are 4 teams that are playing non-Power 5 games. 3 others are playing FCS teams, and 4 have byes. That's your week in the SEC. He says, Bielema, that they should take a good, long, hard look at a challenge. Okay? And the... Now, there's already been reaction from some people. For example, Hugh Freeze, who coaches the NAIA, says, hey, look, it hurts FCS schools. They need the money. Mark Richt has said the same thing. It hurts FCS schools. They need the money. But the SEC has far more scheduling latitude because they have 4 non-conference games. The Big Ten, starting next year, only has 3 non-conference games and 9 conference games. So the scheduling latitude is difficult for the Big Ten. You only have essentially that one opening to do something like this. So I think the Brett Bielema idea is absolutely worthy of conversation, but I'm not sure it has enough, because of the latitude on each side, there's not enough there to make it a reality. But it sure is worthy of conversation. Kevin, of course, who is completely embedded with FCS, knows how important it is to get that check on the FCS level of guaranteed money for a game.
Makes a big difference, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's no question it would hurt them. There's no question it would hurt them. It would hurt FCS. No question about it. So...
But I understand, you know, you and I have talked about this many times on the show. I totally understand that it's going to be difficult for teams to be able to play FCS teams if they want to stay competitive or want to have a shot at the FCS title tournament for those 4 teams, because you can't afford to play an FCS team, and you especially can't afford to lose. It's a no-win. It's a no-win for FBS teams now.
No, it's a total no-win. You know, I mean, first of all, you win the game, it's like, so what? You're expected to win. If you lose the game, Armageddon ensues. At the same time, if you are an FBS coach and you're looking to get some points, obviously, in terms of the Final Four college football ranking, big plus. But at the same time, FBS coaches are also looking for wins. Right? That, thus, at times, that does hinder how you want to schedule. We will take a break. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When is the right time to start talking about the holidays?
It's now.
Because the holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want
to see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can't wait any longer to get into full holiday mode. And you'll feel the same with Kia's Holidays on Us sales event.
No payments until April.
You heard right. April. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months. A 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Fortes, Sportages, and Souls. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So you can afford that Thanksgiving feast, overspend on presents for the family, and still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia. With 0% financing and Sunbury Motors' incredible pricing, you'll get low payments and not even have to make one until April. The holidays are on us at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
More Kia is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Fun show today. Fun show tomorrow, too. Today, we're going to have Nate Cobbler on from the Center Daily Times to discuss Penn State wrestling. He's the beat writer for the CDT covering wrestling. We will also have Gene Deckerhoff, the legendary play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They play the Eagles Sunday at 1 o'clock. He's also the legendary play-by-play voice of Florida State football. Florida State for 37 years and 27 years with Tampa Bay. So he will be in Philadelphia Sunday for the Eagles-Bucks game. We'll talk to Gene Deckerhoff in the 4:06 half hour. Tomorrow, Craig Meyer from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he is the beat writer that covers Duquesne, Penn State-Duquesne, tomorrow night at 7 at Consol Energy. Also tomorrow, John Bacon, outstanding writer who's written so many books. His latest is End Zone. He also wrote Fourth and Long. And is essentially a Michigan football historian. Jim Brandstetter, the play-by-play voice of Michigan football, will join us tomorrow. And Jack Hamm joins us on the show tomorrow. So that's what we have coming up over the next 2 days. And we hope you enjoy all of it. That's what we're looking forward to the next couple of days. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. And we might get Pat O'Brien here.
It looks like he might be available at 3:35 here.
Good. We'll get him on right after this day in sports history, and we'll go from him right to Nate. Salins Grove's going to play Jersey Shore. And Pat, unlike Kevin, has shown great respect to Jersey Shore over the years.
I just stated a fact.
And they've done nothing but won ever since.
Well, good for them.
Ever since the bulletin board material went up, they've done nothing but win.
Then I should be revered in Jersey Shore because of that.
No, I think reviled.
Wrong R word?
They don't like you.
Rejected? No.
Well, that's not uncommon.
Respected. That's the word I was looking for.
News is next.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this improving Thursday. I mean, here in State College, the sun's now out and it's still 60 degrees. In a moment, we'll talk to Pat O'Brien. Later, Nate Cobbler this half hour from the Center Daily Times. Next hour, Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play voice of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Florida State football. Tomorrow, Jack Hamm, John Bacon, Jim Brandstetter, and Craig Meyer of the Post-Gazette. all on tomorrow's show. First, this day in sports history, 1979, Nolan Ryan with the Houston Astros signs a four-year contract worth $4.5 million. At the time, Ryan was the highest-paid player in Major League Baseball at $1.1 million a year. 1984, Dwight Gooden of the Mets, at the age of 20, becomes the youngest Major League pitcher to be named Rookie of the Year in the National League. In 2001, Barry Bonds, first baseball player to win four Most Valuable Player awards. And in 2004, one of the truly ugly days in the history of sports. During a Pistons-Indiana Pacers game at the Palace in Auburn Hills, a fight broke out involving fans and players. Several players were suspended, including Ron Artest, and all involved were later charged with assault and battery. Truly, truly ugly. Let's bring in now the play-by-play voice of the Sealands Grove Seals, Pat O'Brien. They take on Jersey Shore for the championship. Pat, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Glad the Sealands Grove is still playing, so I get to check in with you again this week.
Great, and that's tremendous. They had to, for the first time all season, respond to a loss, and they had to respond to a loss with a playoff game. What impressed you about the response?
I think the focus of these guys, they were playing a team in Columbia Montour Votech that on paper they were much better than, and they should have beaten pretty handily. But you never know exactly how kids are going to come in terms of their approach to a team like Columbia Montour Votech. But I tell you, Steve, they were focused. They got up quickly and then went to what we call the one and a half. We never call them backups. We call them one and a half. And they got in. A lot of guys got in and got to play. So I just really like how they responded in terms of focus and just making sure they got up quickly so they could kind of cruise the rest of the game and then get ready for the big game tomorrow night against the Bulldogs of Jersey Shore.
But what did it do for the confidence that they bounced back like that? Because you still have to have a little level of doubt when you get into a game like that, because you just took one on the chin.
Yeah, and I guess what it makes it a little easier is who the opponent was in Southern Columbia. I mean, they're well aware of their history there. So the fact that they came up 7 points short to Southern Columbia, who everyone expects will win their district in AA, and in advance possibly through a couple rounds of state. So I think that made it easier to kind of bounce back from that, even though you lost the chance at an undefeated season. But again, I can't emphasize enough, there's 22 seniors who are focused. They're going for the third district championship. So it's, we're excited.
All right, so now let's get to the Jersey Shore part. Matchups are so important on the field. So where are a couple of the matchups that you and Ryan Brandt will be keying on tomorrow night?
It's the offensive line of the Sealands Grove Seals against that good front of Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore, Bryce Charles at the nose guard position can really create havoc, get into the backfield. So first and foremost would be Bryce Charles against Jack Gogler up front. Bryce Charles has the ability to disrupt things from the snap, so that's going to be a big focus. And Derek Hicks talks about it all the time, head coach of Sealands Grove Seals, is his linebacker play against a guy like Levi Lorison, who has rushed over 1,000 yards on the season. He's a guy you just got to deal with, over 2,000 yards, to tell you the truth. So the linebackers for Sealands Grove dealing with Lorison, and the offensive line dealing with the guys like Bryce Charles up front, who can just create so much havoc.
Should be terrific tomorrow night. Pat, thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us today.
I appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk again next week. Thanks, Steve.
I hope so as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Pat O'Brien
Bye-bye.
Does a great job with the play-by-play, along with Ryan Brandt of Sealands Grove Football. And, of course, you've heard it all season long on Eagle 107. It'll be a 6 o'clock airtime tomorrow night and a 7 o'clock kickoff for tomorrow's playoff game. All right, let's turn our attention now to wrestling. We bring in Nate Cobbler from the Center Daily Times. Nate, great to have you back again.
Hey, thanks. I don't know if you guys have been outside yet lately, but, man, I tell you what, are we in November or are we in July?
I want to get my golf clubs, Nate. I want to take the golf clubs, go out and start hitting the little white pill around here.
Well, let's go. Let's go do it, Steve.
That sounds good. I like the idea. I like the thought process. We could do this show on the road. Hold on a second. I'll ask Nate a question in a moment, but he's hitting a wedge. Hey, they go out, they do the expected against Lock Haven, but then they get the win over Virginia Tech, which is ranked 7th in the country. What do you think about, and what's the impression you're getting from Cale about the early returns on this team?
He's really, the one word that keeps coming out of his mouth is excited. He is excited for the way this team is wrestling. With the way those guys, went out there on Sunday with Virginia Tech there, Nico Megalutis is usually, a guaranteed win for Penn State when leading off there. He got upset. I mean, it's not really an upset when you're losing to the sixth-ranked guy in the country, but when you lose in that fashion where you're in and you can't finish off finish off your takedown attempts, it's kind of tough. But, there were matches that, Cale and them said that, they thought they could win. But to see the way that the other guys responded after those matches was just an uplift for the team.
Which guys in particular did he single out to you as a couple of guys where he looked back and went, hey, you know what? That's really encouraging.
He really pointed out about Jordan Conaway.
Yeah.
Following up after Nico there. And then to see Zane Rutherford follow up after Bulabon, who looked like he was going to be heading to overtime in his match, because it clearly looked like he still had control of his guy, but the refs saw it otherwise. But, to see those guys bounce back and get the team, back in order, so to speak, with, tying it back up with Jordan's win and then Zane going out there and Tech falling, to give Penn State the lead.
Rutherford is a guy who's back in the lineup this year. What are some areas where he's talked about with you that he likes his progress moving forward?
Well, I mean, Zane is a tremendous wrestler. He doesn't have too many flaws in his game, but he, just like any of the other ones, he's with this new role going on this year with the back points and everything. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are looking to score them back points. And try to get those, big point leads there. Cause, you could turn a match that's within 2 points, you could turn it into a 4-point lead or, turn it into a 6-point lead, if you're up two to begin with. So, a lot of them are just, looking towards those back points this year.
About Morgan McIntosh, what can you tell us a little bit there?
It's a big weekend for Morgan this weekend as, Penn State's traveling out to California. They, if I'm not mistaken, they're probably already there, if not close to being there. But they are traveling to his home state, where Morgan, he won 3 consecutive state championships out there. And he lost 5 matches in his whole high school career there, Steve. And all 5 of those matches were in his freshman year. think about that for a second. Yeah. He didn't lose a single match for 3 years, his final 3 years in high school.
Wow. And that brings with it a lot of emotion. It also gets Cale, since they're out there, gets him, closer back to Utah, which is part of his roots.
Yeah, exactly. And, I was on with Corey Geiger last evening, and he was asking, what are some of the bigger areas for wrestling? And I said, the West is very big. I talked to Morgan's he's the head coach there now, but he was the assistant when Morgan was wrestling in high school, Jake Harmon. And he told me about how the California wrestlers had split up their teams to go compete at two of the top tournaments in the nation, because it happened on the same weekend. And here the California teams went and won both of them. So that just gives you sort of an idea of what the wrestling is like out there in California. But, he gave me a lot of more interesting stories about Morgan, which I have a story coming up tomorrow's paper. That'll be a nice little piece for everybody to read if they get a chance.
And that's good. And I encourage everyone to check out Nate's article tomorrow in the Center Daily Times talking about Morgan McIntosh. So we won't open up all the nuggets right now. We'll let people read it and absorb it, and then we'll talk about it later. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
Sounds good.
All right. Now, This is a process for them. I sense in an earlier answer that in the process, Cale Sanderson likes the initial stages of the process. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair to say. He's very, very, I don't want to say surprised. I shouldn't say surprised. but he is really liking the way the lineup looks so far right now. And, you know, obviously, when you have somebody returning in Garrett Hammond, who was ranked nationally to start the year, and you have him sitting on your bench, so to speak, on the sidelines,
right?
You know, that just makes it more interesting when you have that kind of depth, you know, sitting there. Obviously, Shakur Rashid is there filling in, is in that starting role at 165. And he didn't get to wrestle a whole lot against Virginia Tech on that then Friday night there because his opponent got hurt. But Sunday, he came out firing against Virginia Tech, but it seemed like he got gassed out there in the end of the match because he got taken down about four times within about 10, 15 seconds of the end of the match to go into overtime. So, you know, obviously he's got a little bit of a work to do to get that endurance, so to speak. But, Kale's very happy with what he has right now.
Yeah. Nate, how does he want to handle Jan Johnson at this stage? Because obviously we saw what happened at Virginia Tech. How does he want to handle that considering he is undersized for a heavyweight?
Well, I mean, you looked at it, like you said, you could see it in the Virginia Tech match. Yeah, he could have put him out there. He could have wrestled against the number two guy in the country to gain some you know, knowledge more about the weight class, so to speak. But you got to look at it as an instance of you got to protect the wrestler too. I mean, he could have went out there, he could have wrestled Jan, and Jan may have gotten hurt. Then what? Then there's no heavyweight on the team.
Right.
So, you know, the match was in hand. There was no need to wrestle him, but it's one of those things where you want to gain his knowledge more of the weight class, but you got to be smart about it too.
And he also gets Kale all the time in the room. So if Kale has any handle on what the guy can and can't do, it would be him. So what kind of handle does Kale have on the kind of technical wrestler Jan Johnson is?
He talks about his quickness and about how well he is, how good he is at scrambling. And you could see that. You saw that on Friday night in the Lockhaven match. There was a time, he was wrestling Brad Emmerich there from Lockhaven, and they got into a part where Jan looked like he was going to give up, you know, a takedown. And he didn't. He was able to scramble around and keep control, and, you know, the period ended up finishing, and then nothing ended up happening. So his scrambling ability and his quickness is going to be key. Because let's face it, he's not going to be able to out-strengthen these guys when he's already losing 50 pounds.
Right, well, exactly. Well, do you have a handle yet, Nate, on how deep the sport is at the moment among the top teams? Does it go 3-4 deep? Is it 5-6-7-8 deep? How deep do the good teams go right now in college wrestling?
Well, I mean, you look at it, you got this past weekend, we had Iowa wrestling against Oklahoma State, which is a big rivalry in wrestling, college wrestling, and they wrestled outside in Kinnick Stadium. And, you know, Iowa ended up winning by 2 points. So you have those two there, along with Penn State. But a sneaky team that people aren't really talking much about is Michigan. You know, right now in the new rankings that just got released Tuesday, you have Penn State at 1, Iowa at 2, and Michigan at 3. Wow, you have the defending national champions in Ohio State at number 5. So if you want to go depth and, you know, potential, you got a couple handful of teams there. And even Virginia Tech's right there, and they're sitting there at 6. So I would have to say probably right now, just from seeing what I've seen, I can't really talk for Michigan, but right, there's probably 5-6 teams out there right now.
Right. And by the way, that wrestling match at Kinnick, which they lucked out weather-wise, that was the entire key. They drew 42,247 for that.
Yep. You know?
And that they combined that with their football game as well, that they played Minnesota at night. They wrestled, I think it was 11 a.m. Their time, and then they played the night game against Minnesota.
Yep.
What are they saying about the back points in the new rule there? Because you alluded to it earlier. What are they saying in the Penn State wrestling room? Because obviously the articles I've read, it seems like nationally it's had a big impact so far.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, they love it. A lot of the wrestlers, they're loving it. Morgan McIntosh was saying about how he's been working a lot on his top game in order to, you know, get those back points earned. For them, they love it. But for Kale, he looks at it as it might be too much. He said, you know, he was mentioning that, you know, if you want to reward action in a wrestling match, you should probably make the takedown points worth more than instead of, you know, trying to turn a guy to his back. Right. So the wrestlers love it, but Kale, not so much.
Hey, Nate, great pleasure. Great to have you back on again. And I'd hit 9-iron here.
Wow, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, guys, Steve's taking one of the 9-iron. I'm pretty sure he just put within 5 feet. So, Steve, I'll give you that one for birdie.
That's what I love. That's what I love about radio. It sounded generous. Thanks so much, Nate. Appreciate it so much.
All right, Steve, have a good one.
Nate Cobbler, Center Daily Times. Next half hour, Gene Deckerhoff, Bucks and Knowles, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Jack Hamm on the show, who was cleverly coerced into doing the interview by somebody who said, you're doing this. We kid about that all the time. But, yeah, he'll be on the show tomorrow. Jim Brandstetter, play-by-play voice, Michigan tomorrow. John Bacon tomorrow. And Craig Meyer, Post-Gazette tomorrow. Still to come, Gene Deckerhoff today. Legendary play-by-play voice, Tampa Bay Bucks, 27 seasons. Florida State football, 37 seasons. And Florida State basketball. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
Yeah, and we're driving the Kia Soul that we've been talking about, the 16 Kia Soul that you can be driving very soon. Matter of fact, as early as tomorrow. And if you decide to enjoy 30 miles to the gallon back and forth to work and being able to fold down the back seats, have plenty of room to store whatever Christmas presents you want, you'll have plenty of money to buy those presents because you're going to make no payment until April. Let's say you sign the paperwork tomorrow. You'll get 0% financing for 66 months. December 20th, no payment. January 20th, no payment. February 20th, no payment. March 20th, Kia makes that payment. April 20th will be the first payment you make. So look for a great deal with no payment in December, January. February, March payments are all taken care of. You won't have a payment until spring. That's one of the many vehicles that are being offered right now with the special holiday financing at Sunbury Motors Kia. 15 and 16 models, select 15, and I believe all the 16 models are involved in that as well. Get the details from Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think Kai's definitely lost his mind on this sale because there's no way you should not take advantage of this.
Sounds terrific. All right. Again, our thanks to Pat O'Brien, who joined us in this half hour, and also Nate Cobbler of the Center Daily Times as we talked high school football and wrestling. Still to come, we'll talk with one of the true legends in our business, Gene Deckerhoff, Florida State football and also Florida State basketball, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play-by-play voice. Why talk to Gene now? It's great to talk to Gene anytime, but the Bucs are playing the Eagles this weekend. At Lincoln Financial Field, the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. So we'll get Gene's thoughts on Jameis Winston, the Bucs, Donovan Smith, the game, and some thoughts on Florida State as well. Gene Deckerhoff, next half hour. Tomorrow, Jack Hamm, Jim Brandstetter, John Bacon, Craig Meyer, all on tomorrow's show. By the way, within the next, I think, 3 weeks, we're going to get Doc Emmerich on. Just have to select the date now that works out. But evidently, he has said yes to doing our show. Happy about that. He's even made Kevin a fan of hockey.
Listen, I could listen to him do anything.